How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Are you ready?
Let's make some noise, come on!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest edition of the Broad Street Line. I am Roy Burton. Alongside me, as always, my tag team partner, a man who had ringside seats next to Al Michaels on day two of WrestleMania, one Chris Domingo. Mr. Domingo, how are you doing, as always, as we say during this pandemic, this air quote Saturday morning, sir?
I did not think I'd say this, not even by April 15th. I'm sweating, Roy. Ooh. And I need to know, an important question.
Yes.
Has the switch gone off in the Burton household, going from warm, going from heat to AC?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely.
Oh,
not.
Really?
No.
Not yet.
No. Yeah. As we were recording this show, we were having unseasonably warm weather here in the Northeast. It's the temperature is around 80-ish degrees or something. It feels very warm as I'm recording this in the Broad Street Line studios away from the 106.5 FM studios. Every window, we got to open up the windows, brother.
Okay.
You got to turn on the fans, brother. You're not doing the AC
but
yet.
You're not ready to – now, do you have a date in mind?
No, I don't have a date in mind. Like I said before, like once it kind of consistently gets over 80, I think we said this before on the show, if it gets consistently over 80, we can put it on. It's supposed to be, again, we record this show early in the week, for those of you who don't know, through the magic of recording devices and StreamYard. So it's supposed to be the day after we record this, the high is supposed to be like 60-something. So yeah, Nah, man. Well, I am not turning on the AC when it's 80 if it's going to be.
But the follow, but next week yes. We're gonna get a mini heat wave again.
That's gonna push me, man. You know, I'm not a killer, but don't push me.
Can you tolerate? I guess like the overall question is, can you tolerate sweating a little bit, or can you not? Like, I don't know. I guess it's. Would you rather sweat a little bit at night, or would you rather be freezing in at night? And I think a lot of people would say, you know what, I just won't. I'll put a light blanket on. Like, I don't know. Like, you can manage the heat, like the warmth in April. This isn't like a heat. This isn't like 100. Yeah. So like, it's one of those like might be a minor inconvenience, but you deal.
Yeah, you deal again. Like do what I do. Go on Amazon. There's like these cooling blankets on Amazon. You know, they kind of work pretty good. You don't want a big comforter on. You know, in the middle of April when it's 80 degrees. But like you said, get a little light blanket, a little sheet action. Again, you're good to go.
Yeah.
We are not doing AC. Again, we were dealing with the heat. And speaking of dealing with the heat, there is a man who dealt with all the heat involving multiple allegations against his character, and he said, "You know what? I don't care. I'm coming back with a mustache, and I'm taking what I believe is rightfully mine," and that's one Vince McMahon, who has had himself a week.
I would say he said he's innocent, but he didn't even say he's innocent.
No.
He just said, you know what, and he basically said, end. Like, yeah. I don't know. And I mean, like, he came back. He took a bunch of F5s, took some choke slams, and got up. And I mean, like, and he's, unfortunately, or like, because I think we can agree that he is not a good person, or he is a suspect individual. And I mean, isn't the place where WWE was purchased the place where another not good person owns, like, I don't know, is a president of UFC?
No, absolutely right. And we will talk again a lot of wrestling this week, and a lot of discussion surrounding wrestling this week. Yeah, a lot of discussion surrounding wrestling this week is WWE's acquisition / merger / whatever you want to call it with Endeavor, the parent company of UFC. But we have, of course, have a ton of stuff to discuss when it comes to WrestleMania. This is going to be a very wrestling heavy show.
We're not going to talk about the Sixers playoff push.
We will, maybe. Maybe not, but this is going to be heavy wrestling off the top. If you guys do not like wrestling, we might get to regular sports like 50 minutes in. So apologies on the front end, because we ain't doing that. This is WrestleMania post-WrestleMania recap.
And I think this is like, no, this is pretty major for the long-term, I would say, viability. Because, like as much as, like, I don't know, people wish it away, WWE will be here forever. Or as long as it wants to be here. And this merger cements that. And I think this merger gives WWE a lot of wiggle room and margin forever. Like, before, like, I don't know, like, when you're on your own and, like, I don't know, like, man, I had no idea MMA, in particular UFC, is a cash cow.
No, the UFC makes a ton of money. And we'll talk about this whole deal. I don't want to get into the specifics right now, but you got two companies in the quote-unquote, air quote, combat sports arena, again, however you want to classify WWE and UFC, who have merged, and again, together, will have a lot of power and a lot of stroke in the sports media industry. And we'll talk about that on this edition of the Broad Street Line, as we always say at this time. Sit back, relax, take a ride on the Broad Street Line, because the future sports talk radio has finally arrived. Any shout-outs, my friend?
No, let's just say the usual thank yous.
Thank you guys, as always, for listening to us and supporting us here on 106.5 FM WPPM LP Philadelphia. Speaking of which, do us a favor. The Philly Cam Instagram page is back up and running, and we are back officially in business. So please do us a solid. Follow us on Instagram. WPPM1065 is our handle on Instagram for the Philly Cam Radio webpage. There's all sorts of, Instagram page. There's all sorts of cool stuff that we're going to be posting on there over the next couple of weeks. Kind of keeping that. It's like the brand new relaunch of our Instagram branding. So a lot of cool stuff about the station and about what we do here at Philly Cam. Do us a solid. Follow us there. Follow the Broad Street Line, Chris and I, on Twitter at the BS Line. That's my handle. At SKD215, that's Chris's handle, where we kind of pontificate about whatever comes to mind whenever things come to mind. This is a big weekend, of course, for the NBA as the regular season ends. So I'll probably be tweeting about that for the most part, since WrestleMania is in the rearview mirror. Although, also, cannot forget, opening weekend, I'll get it right, for the Philadelphia Phillies this weekend. The home opener was scheduled for Thursday, was pushed back until Friday. So home opening weekend for the Phillies, who have started 1-5, not looking good so far, but it's early, so who knows. So a lot of stuff going on this weekend. What are you going to be tweeting about, sir?
I am going to jump in to the NBA. How many regular season Sixers games are there?
Bro, this would be, by the time this airs, there'll be like two games left.
Okay. All right. Gives me enough time to no.
Everything locked in already. You might not even see Joel Embiid play a minute.
I mean, I'll be honest. I really don't feel. I mean, did I miss an All Star, like an MVP caliber season, by Joel Embiid? I did. But you know what? I cannot. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sorry, Sixers fans, or mainly online Sixers fans, have ruined this MVP, because really, like, I don't, like, I just I keep. Just going back to, is it possible to have a normal discourse about anything related to the NBA? And the answer is absolutely, unequivocally no. I mean, like, this MVP thing, I saw someone professional in the professional sports media say they should have the top seed teams pick the teams they play. I'm like, oh my God. Like, no, is there something that is, like, fundamentally broken about the NBA that either Adam Silver, sports media fans want to fix?
I think so. And I've heard that the choose your own opponent scenario as well. Well, obviously, you know, with the play-in situation, obviously the NBA was trying to figure something out to kind of juice up the playoffs, because the first round of the playoffs, by and large, is awful. And the play-in tournament is supposed to address that a little bit. And it's also supposed to address the whole lottery situation a little bit. And I think, again, a little bit is all it's really done. I don't really know how you fix the whole playoff thing. Because, again, like, I don't know if, again, saying if the Milwaukee Bucks can pick their, you know, their opponent in the first round, I don't know how much that matters. I don't know how much that changes things.
Does this come back to the regular, like, the games are becoming less and less meaningful, period? Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. The regular season is less important. I mean, it's 82 games. Again, as we're recording this.
And you're even saying the first round of the playoffs is unimportant.
They really, I mean, again, by and large, I mean, it kind of goes.
What you're saying is, I don't think I've missed much, because I just need to tune into the playoffs.
But just to kind of bolster that point, how different has that been from the last 10 NBA seasons, 15 NBA seasons? I mean, like, again, the first round of the playoffs is typically chalk. You are what you always know. Again, this year, maybe the last couple of years is a little bit different, but we've had this discussion, you know, years ago on this show. You can take five teams. Like, I can say, Chris Domingo, pick five teams, and one of these five teams is going to win the NBA title. And you could pick five teams before the season, and 99% of the time, you're going to have one of the five teams who's going to win the title. Because the NBA is not a shot. Like, you know who the best teams are in the league. It doesn't matter. You know,
I'll ask you a straight-up question.
Yeah.
Is Adam Silver a good commissioner?
I think he's good. I don't think he's as good as David Stern, but I think he's good. I think he's fine. I mean,
I feel that there are just too many of these things, and I think, like, I don't know, like, the way that the game is covered sucks. Like, I don't know. There are just so many things that I've said it. The NBA is slowly becoming sports TMZ, where everything is just blistering, hot take. Like, there's this combative relationship with, like, the media, fans, players. It's like the circle. I really don't understand why it's just – because you don't see this in football. You don't see this in baseball. What is the difference? Like, is it that these players feel very just, like, emboldened to, like, speak their mind? I don't know. There's just – I've said for a while that the NBA in general is just – slowly getting on my nerves, and it culminated this year where I just don't feel I'm like, because everything that comes out about the NBA, there are no feel-good stories about the NBA this season, zero, other than the Kings.
Well, the thing with the NBA is, I think the NBA in general, just like the nightly grind just kind of lends itself to kind of this stuff. Like, it lends itself to having those debates, you know, on the First Takes and, you know, whatever the Fox Sports, you know, show is, because again, you have the NFL and you have your games on Sundays and Mondays, and, you know, like, you have your talk. Whatever, it is what it is. No one cares about baseball, so we're not talking about baseball. But the NBA, you know, Joel Embiid can come out and have a 52-point game like he did the other night, and like, oh my god, he's the MVP or whatever. But then Nikola Jokic can come out and have a triple-double, and then you can say, oh my god, he's a triple. Like, I think it kind of lends itself to, like, you can kind of have these, because you saw Kendrick Perkins has changed his MVP vote like three times in the past like 2 weeks, just because somebody had a really good game the other night. So it's like, I think the NBA itself kind of lends itself to all this kind of like this yelling and back.
And it also leans into the very online part where, like, right. I don't know, the NBA by far is the most online league. And with all the benefits that has, it has some pitfalls too. And yeah. Like, I don't know, that's just I feel like the NBA is slowly becoming hip hop to me, where it's slowly pushing the demographic away from me, where, like, the stuff that, like, I really enjoy about the NBA, I don't see much of anymore. And yeah. Maybe, like, I don't know, like, maybe this year is just a mulligan for me, man. But no, I feel that way. Like, I don't know. I don't recognize any of these players. Every time I'm watching, trying to watch a game, there's three players out. Like, no, I feel the fundamental issue is the load management. And I feel that, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, it, much like the playoffs, there's not a clear solution to that. It really is. You really need to tell these, but, like, no, I think it needs to come from internally, where the players are just like, and the teams are like, no, play.
Yeah, and they just signed a new CBA. And I don't know if there's – or they agreed to the – I'll say the fundamental principles of a new CBA. I don't know if there's a lot in that CBA that deals with load management, but you're right. I think that's kind of like the main issue. And you kind of have to figure out something, whether it's schedule-wise or whatever, that you see these players play, you know, more than 65 games a year or 70, you know, whatever, you know. Because, like, a lot of guys right now playing – 65, 68 games a year, and they're missing 10, 12 games a year, and they're relatively healthy, and that's not good for the sport. Of course, it leads into the whole, can somebody win the MVP, which is the reason why they baked in that 65-game requirement in this new CBA. But, yeah, I think Adam Silver is just going to get back to your original point. I think he's fine. I think he's kind of done it as much as he can do within the current structure to kind of make the game a little bit better. I know they kind of cut down a little bit of, you know, some of the back-to-backs and the four games and five nights they got rid of completely. But again, unless you kind of have some kind of, like you said, some meeting with the players or agreement with the players that, yo, we got to fix this, I'm not sure how much changes, you know.
No, so. I feel that, like, I don't know, this really, because it is a players' league. And I mean, like, I think it really, like, I don't know, I think ever since the decision, it is, and it's always been a players' league, but I feel that, like, the pendulum has just swung completely, like, I don't know, in the players' favor. But, like I say, if the players have all this power to, like, I don't know, like, for empowerment, they got to use it in other ways too, where, right. Like, I don't know, like, LeBron James. I mean, LeBron James is the most powerful player in the NBA, and it's not even close. Where he's saying, "Yo, for the sake of this league, and like, so like my son has has a league like this. I don't know that is I don't know flourishing. We got to like I don't know like I hate to say it, play hard."
No, but again, if you're LeBron James, or not just LeBron James, I don't want to put him out there, but if you're a player in a league making a decent amount of money, you see the league, again, making a lot of money. You see guys like Tobias Harris making $35 million a year. You see Bradley Beal making $50 million a year. And mm-hmm. these TV contracts are coming up, and they're probably going to, you know, if not double, get close to double what they're getting now in these TV contracts. The money, there's tons of money everywhere. And if you're a player in a league and you see everybody in the league getting paid, what's your impetus to change it, other than the fact that some people online don't like, you know, that?
Yeah, mess it no, up. That's true. Because no, and I feel that that's a pretty good segue into our next topic is if the money is just flowing in, what's the purpose of change? And like, I don't know. I feel that like, but I feel that's the way in sports in general, where like this is really the only act, like this is the only rodeo that people are paying for.
No, you're absolutely right. And of course, the other topic that we were talking about is WWE and their, again, recent acquisition by the UFC parent company Endeavor. The goal or the end game, once this is all settled, is that the UFC, WWE and Endeavor will kind of create this parent mega company that already has a stock symbol, TKO, that's worth, currently valued at more than $21 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars. So WWE, UFC, super mega company coming together. And again, part of this is that Vincent McMahon, who has kind of brodied his way back into WWE after the
Brody, yes. Like that is a perfect, he literally just, he did what those people at the Wu-Tang concert we went to, like literally he wanted a beer and he just said, and I'm like miles away from, he's miles away from the stand. He's like, no. By any means necessary. And you know what? I mean, I don't know how, like, I don't know how much you can dispute anymore the power of Vince McMahon. It's unfortunate, but like, I don't know what he's done in the last, from the time that he was forced out, because he was forced out. Like, I think Lance Storm said it's like, it's not like he went on vacation. He was forced out from that time on to, I don't know, basically using his legal power as like the principal, like as the leading stockholder of WWE, and saying, you know what, I have this power, I'm going to sell the company, and I'm going to, and like, I don't know, as much as said he was going to walk away. The primary reason for all this is so he could get some power back.
Yeah, just to kind of give people a backstory. So Vince McMahon, of course, you know, was the primary, I guess, now in past terms.
Then now forever.
Yeah, exactly. Shareholder in WWE. But because he used company money to settle sexual assault allegations, as well as using company money to donate to Donald Trump's charitable foundation, he was more or less forced out of the company. But he kind of realized, like, hey, man, like, I really have all the power when it comes to this. Yeah. I have all the voting power. So you really can't force me out, because I can just, again, come in and Brody everybody to get my power back. So he came back, got rid of a bunch of people on a board, and sought his own board members, because, again, he has more voting power than everybody else. So he came back and assumed his duties as chairman of WWE. Now, initially, people thought that, oh, this is just to kind of get WWE to a point where they can get acquired, get sold, whatever, to another company. And that, again, appeared to be at least part of the case, because Endeavor came by and gave WWE a $9 billion check to make this happen. But Vince McMahon will retain his chairman of WWE duties with the new company that's merged with Endeavor. And if Monday is any indication, seems like Vince McMahon has his hand back once again on the steering wheel when it comes to content,
in person or virtually. He's gonna be in gorilla via Teams.
Vince McMahon has no idea how to use Zoom, but apparently, like, the man, the 77, maybe 78 year old, I don't know what it is now, year old man, might be zooming in changes to Monday Night Raw.
So he's gonna say, damn it, put in the LWO.
Yeah, so a lot of people, again, are very disheartened by the news that, again, not only is Vince McMahon still in a prominent position after this merger with Endeavor, but he is more prominently, it seems, in a creative position with WWE.
And I think he feels emboldened now. I feel like, I don't know, like he has this like extra level of like moxie or just, I don't know, cojones. Where like, I don't know, like he's gone. Like, I mean, like everyone, including I thought last year was it. Like, I don't know, he's going to ride into the sunset. And like, I honestly thought that, like, I don't know, once he sold this, that like, I don't know. I really thought once he sold this, he was going to get a big fat check and just ride off into the sunset. I was wrong. I was very wrong. He got the big fat check because I think he made like $200 million in like a day. And he got like, I don't know. And it appears that Ari Emanuel, the CEO of Endeavor, is willing to listen, is giving Vince the keys. Cause I feel that like, I don't know, like with all the faults that Vince McMahon has, he sort of commands this respect of, he literally built this, like he bought this company from his father for, I think, what, $1 million or something like what, $1 million, and made it into a company that was purchased for $10 billion. So on some level, you have to be impressed by this. That being said, and I feel that's like, they're going to lean, Ari Emanuel is going to lean on Vince McMahon to kind of lead the start. I don't know how long this is because he's almost 80 years old. I mean, like, how long can you rely on Vince McMahon?
Well, and again, like, that's the thing that's kind of like the question mark in all this. It's like, how long is Vince McMahon going to do this? But that being said, I don't want to say damage, but I mean, like, if Vince McMahon, you know, let me just say this. I can't get past this, but if WWE continues to put out a product as terrible as Monday's show was, then the damage that could be done in the short period of time that he does this until he retires could be pretty significant. But that being said, just to get back to your original point to start this whole conversation off, WWE ain't going nowhere. I mean, like, you might lose some talent. You might have some terrible shows. You might not have the revenue that you had last year, but they're not going anywhere. They're a multi-billion dollar company that's now part of another multi-billion dollar company that's going to continue to make billions and billions of dollars for the next whatever. Like, they made last year, WWE made nearly $1.3 billion in revenue last year. They have two TV contracts, one with USA and one with Fox, that are up this year, up next year. Right now, as of right now, those two TV deals bring in about $470 million every single year. It wouldn't be insane for those numbers to double. So again, you're $1 billion.
Especially now you have that UFC rug. Before, like, WWE didn't need a rug because they were WWE. But I mean, let's be honest, UFC is bigger than WWE. And like, I don't know, you use those connections and you kind of leverage a lot of the stuff that UFC does. Like I said, it's, as a fan, it's disheartening to know that like whatever you do or don't do with your, I don't know, with your choice of TV or buying stuff, I really don't think in the short term it matters.
No, I don't think it matters either. And again, just to kind of get back to your point, you know, with that UFC rub, again, like, you're going to have the, you know, the cross promotion with the Daniel Cormiers and the Conor McGregors and stuff showing up on Raw. Although you had a little bit of that now. But again, you're going to have, you know, WWE people show up on the UFC pay-per-views. And again, like, you have two resources of two, again, $9, $10, $12 billion companies linking together, and again finding corporate synergies, of course, and kind of probably reducing staff as well. So WWE is in a really good spot. Like, they're not going to go anywhere. Like, it doesn't matter how many Omos versus Elias
as a company.
However,
I think, like I said it to myself, Roy, you know what I think the worst thing that happened through all this was, fans saw an alternate universe where Vince McMahon, what, like, because I really think, because I'll be one of the first to thought, I always thought that the Vince, like, complaining was a little, I don't know, much. However, when you see Triple H run things and you're like, oh, now I see why people just hate it. Like, no, I really feel like just having that lens of seeing how a product is made versus what it was made before, you're like, yo, I don't think I want to watch this anymore after this. And, like, I'll be honest, I'm really coming close to, like, I don't know. I mean, I've lived without wrestling for like 12 years. I might, like, I don't think I'll go away. I won't not watch like the PLEs and like the Manias, but I don't think I'll tune into, like, I don't know, like every week overall.
Yeah, and again, to be fair, like, you know, we've said this before, like, you know, like the period between WrestleMania and SummerSlam is typically a dead period, especially, you know, in recent years. And again, if Monday's any indication, it might be a super dead period. So, yeah, so I think there's going to be a lot of people like you and me who are going to say, you know what, I'll read the recaps the next day on Cage Side Seats or, you know, or whatever. And then, you know, like, I'll probably turn into, like you said, the PLEs. Because, again, you have... you know, Bad Bunny is hosting the next one in Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
you have a Money in the Bank in London. You have the Saudi Arabia King Queen of the Ring. Yeah, the WWE's got like money's coming in. Like they got super super big events coming up. So they're coming off of
the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Like I don't know, like they can live off. No, like that's why. Like I don't know. That's why as a fan, it's disheartening because I'm an accountant. I see. Like I don't know. Like, for all the complaining, all the fire Vince's on the YouTube of the bump or whatever the hell they're doing, you know what, like, I don't know, these people, you know what these stockholders don't, like, I don't know, only care about? The income statement.
Right.
They don't, they're not on YouTube Premium listening to, like, I don't know, Matt Camp. No, I feel like, I don't know, and I think Endeavor is, for better or worse, the company that can absorb or just ignore this, like, I don't know, backlash, because... I'm sure they've gotten it in spades with Dana White.
Yeah, and I think ignore is the perfect word because, you know, a few weeks ago, months ago, I'm not even sure of the timing anymore, but like, again, there's video of Dana White, the president of UFC, you know, hitting his wife in public. And basically he said, like, yo, wait, what do you want to do to me? Like, you can't really fire me because I don't really solve anything. Like, you could suspend me, but nothing really changes. And they didn't do anything, and they really didn't say anything. Endeavor, the parent company, really didn't say anything. And maybe they didn't say anything because, like, this deal was in the works with Vince. And it's like, yo, we can't, like, you know, come down hard on this dude when we got a guy, yep, Vince, who's, like, 10 times worse. So, yeah, so Endeavor, again, like you said, Endeavor is a $21 billion company now. They can ignore, you know, a bunch of internet
folks. They can. Tweeting, like, I mean, you're not going to get, like, this, like, I don't know, this, like, I don't know, like, because I'll be honest, this whole Vince saga was very sobering to say, you know what? The rules for rich people are very different. Like, I don't know. And, like, I don't know. Like, you don't think that there was some sort of, I don't know, wink, wink from Vince to Ari Emanuel to say, yo, like, I don't, like, I mean, I don't know. This just feels like, I don't know. Like, one, I feel that, like, I don't know, this, the joining feels very just too perfect. I mean, Comet Sports and, like, all that. And I don't know, like you said, the environment for a guy like Vince McMahon that's coming off a lot of this, like, heat issues, whatever. I mean, I feel like this is probably the ideal place. Like, I mean, like, is it better than, like, I don't know, would we rather have the Saudis bought it? I don't think so. But I mean, but in terms of, like, fan, like, I don't know, like, optimism, I feel being the last 6 or 7 months, fans have been very just, I don't know, happy. And, like, I don't know, wrestling fans are eternally miserable. And I feel like, I don't know, this just gives you another reason just to hunker down and be like, ah, Vince sucks, WWE sucks. Like, I don't know. And it's a bummer.
Yeah, no, it's a bummer. But again, just to kind of get back to the point you just made, you know, what is it more or less of a bummer than if, like, the Saudi, you know, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia bought it with the private investment fund or public investment fund? I don't know, like, to be honest. content-wise, would it have been better? Sure, because I'm sure they probably would have said, you guys keep doing what you're doing. You know, we're going to ask for, you know, Goldberg at every, you know, premium live event. But you guys keep doing what you're doing, and, you know, nothing really changes.
Would Vince have been involved in?
That's the question. I don't think so. I don't think he would have been. I really don't. If the Saudi
I feel that this is why I was holding out hope that one of the big hitters, like the Foxes, and I don't think Disney would have, because they're just, I don't know, they ain't got that much money anymore. Like, no, I feel like, I don't know, Comcast would have been, because they don't need that kind of heat. Right. Like, I don't know. But a company like Endeavor that, I mean, that frankly is, like, I don't know, that enjoys ignoring this. I don't know. It just felt like, I don't know. Like, and kudos to Eric Bischoff. He kind of called it a long time ago or a while ago. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. But once again, I'll adjust. And if the product sucks, I won't watch it. But I'm not one of these people that thinks, like, I don't know, that my voice is going to make an impact, because it's not. I'll be honest. Like, I don't know. Like I don't, like, it, we just have to wait it out. And that's all I got to say. I mean, no, I feel this is really, like, I don't know. And I guess in the interim, what happens to the power structure? I mean, I guarantee a lot of these people that were making these decisions ain't making decisions anymore.
No, yeah, a lot of people who were making decisions, again, whether it be Triple H or whoever, like Triple H or Jace, won't be making decisions. Just in general, I mean, just the number of people employed by both companies is going to go down. I mean, like they're not going to have two accounting departments for like this new company. They're not going
to
have two.
Who knows if those guys getting mega bonuses though? I saw Nick Khan got a $15 million bonus.
Yeah. So all this stuff is going to so a lot of people are going to be out of work and things like that. But, you mentioned it before, and it makes the perfect WWE and UFC coming together. Makes all the sense in the world from a content standpoint. Again, you have two combat sports. UFC already has a deal with ESPN to kind of broadcast their stuff through pay-per-views. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a joint kind of WWE-UFC kind of channel
network. Forbidding Door!
Well, no, I'm just saying just a network, just a streaming option.
No, I feel I don't know, someone said it, and I know people were screaming, and of course they just don't read. Like, they're like, oh man, what's this gonna, oh man, SummerSlam this August is, or July is gonna be $60. Like, no.
No.
Peacock has the agreement until 2026. So, I mean, I can't look too much into the future. I can look in 2 years in the future and say, okay, I'm good. But I mean, when I think someone said it in you might or may get some type of WWE content on ESPN Plus.
Yeah. So, I think there's a couple of ways they can spin it. And there have been reports or rumors that ESPN might be in the mix for the SmackDown and or Raw rights when they're up next year. But I think if I had to guess, I think there's probably going to be a WWE / UFC kind of / ESPN kind of streaming network where you pay, $10 a month and you get a whole bunch of stuff like they have now with Peacock, WWE on Peacock, where you get a bunch of stuff, for quote unquote free. But maybe for the more premium events, maybe for the big four pay-per-views, and maybe for the big UFC stuff, you have to pay the full note, the $60, $80 or whatever. If I had to guess, I think that's where we are 2 years from now. Now, whether or not that's a viable solution, I don't know, because we ain't been paying for pay-per-views since WrestleMania 30, because that's when the network started.
No, and I feel the people that are doing the economics of this realize. You might not be able to make it 60.
Right.
You might be able to, and I feel there's that price point that, I don't know, people will say F no or yeah, I don't know, begrudgingly, click yes. And I don't know. And I feel that maybe a tiered system where Backlash is
Backlash better be free. Everything else better be free. I ain't paying for Backlash. I ain't paying for King of Queen in the Ring. I ain't none of that. The big four, we can have a discussion about at some price point.
No, and I feel this is going to be the interesting part is the consumer behavior of UFC fans have been paying for this forever. And you know what? They still pay for it. Correct. But that's that behavioral stuff that you need to But this is why WWE will never go anywhere, because you know what? That library, it makes money every minute. I don't know how many people just barely watch the current stuff and just want, all the manias and all the rumbles. That's where that historical content really is just the drive. And we always say wrestling is such a nostalgic thing. Where I went back to how many times have you or anyone has gone back and watched a random match from 1996?
Yeah, no, the a lot of the value in WWE's money or WWE's valuation is in the library, is in the history. Because like you said, a lot of people, wrestling is a nostalgic thing. They look back at, even if they're lapsed fans, even if they haven't watched for 20 years, they can still go back and watch every WrestleMania that's not WrestleMania 9. And have fond memories, of those matches of that time and things like that. So yeah, so a lot of that value is in that, which is why, again, when that bidding war, when these rights deals are up, that's why I think it's going to be pretty interesting, because they're going to get a lot of money, and with the UFC rub, you're going to have a lot more eyes on the product than you had before. So yeah, the next couple of years is going to be pretty interesting to kind of see this all shake out, how it all works. But again, no matter how bad the product is, every Monday or every Friday or whatever, they're going to keep making money.
Is there some sort of Is there like an event like that could embarrass the company enough where, say, like, I don't know, like, this is very far-fetched. If a Dynamite outviews a Raw, like, does that, like, is there something that kind of would trigger me? I mean, that will never happen, because if we're being honest, like, I don't know, like, Dynamite's still getting like less than 900,000 a week. Like, I don't know, you would need to bring back, like, I don't know, peak Rock and peak Austin to, like, I don't know, Matt. No, I like, and that's what people don't want to hear. The gap between like AEW and WWE in terms of viewership and everything is so wide. And it, like, you would need 8 to 10 years to close most of this gap.
So I guess what is your question? Like, is there something that could happen that could what?
No, is there a triggering that that competition can do to I don't know, compel the owners of the new owners of WWE to make a change, like, to not sit on their and let Vince run this however the hell he feels.
I just don't think anybody's close enough to kind of make, again, kudos to AEW. They got their first stadium show coming up, you know, in the summer in London, which is a big thing. It's a big deal for them. Kudos to them. But I just don't think the gap, like you said, I think the gap is too wide, where I don't think there's a viable path for them to close the gap that closely with WWE between now and whenever Vince decides to literally go home. And be done with this. I mean, look, WWE, WrestleMania 39, highest grossing event in history, 21.6 million gate, 161 people in attendance. They had $20 million in sponsorship revenue. They had a Cinnamon Toast Crunch match in the middle of WrestleMania.
They were getting in Snickers jokes with Kevin Owens. Like, no, I feel like, I don't know. And this isn't like, I don't know, like, I don't know, Boost Mobile cross-sponsoring Snickers.
Boost Mobile got money, but I'm just saying, like, you had a literal Cinnamon Toast Crunch match, the Rey Mysterio match. You ain't, like, if you're making $20 million just off sponsorship revenue, nobody's really close to you. Nobody. No. Nobody's touching you. Like, so, yeah, so the answer to that is no.
No, and I feel that, like, I don't know, because we live in this, like, I don't know, like, it's really one of the only reasons why I still love, like, Twitter is, I mean, we live in this online bubble, but you know who don't live in this online bubble? 80% of the people that go to WrestleManias and like are the kids with the Cody Rhodes foam thing, and like, they're not online. They don't care. They just want to see the pyro. They want to see, like, I don't know, like, they, like, they're there just for like the spectacle. And I feel right. Like, I don't know, that's, you'll never, like, you'll never lose those people. I mean, Vince, like, you never lost them when Vince was running the company for 40 years.
Now, do you have a chance of losing them after what happened on night two of WrestleMania? Because the American Nightmare himself, you know, the man who was going to take down the tribal chief himself, Roman Reigns, came up short in his attempt to get the Universal Champion.
I have to acknowledge the wise man, because once again, you were one of the smartest people I know, and you went Lenny Briscoe, and you investigated, Jesse L. Martin. You said, you know what, Lou, something doesn't look right here, where you kept saying, finish the story. You know what? No. And like, after sleeping on it for 3 days, because when I haven't been playing my video game or working, I've been thinking about why this is best for business. And you know what? It's no, like, I don't know. This was the right call. And like, I don't know, like, if Cody Rhodes would have finished the story, it would have been the shortest story ever.
The man came back right after WrestleMania last year. Did his little spiel, had a couple of matches, tore his pec, had to leave for a long time. Coming back at Royal Rumble, you know, wins Royal Rumble coming into 30. And then 2.5 months later, bam, back to win title. That story, I forget who
sucks.
Said it. No, it doesn't suck. But as I think David Shoemaker, Kazim said it on the Ringer Podcast Network. There's a lot of meat left on that bone, man.
Yeah.
A lot of meat left on the bone. You don't end the story. You do not end the story right now, because there's way too much more to tell. The WWE put out a 2-hour, and I watched the whole thing, a 2-hour video about the Bloodline that barely mentioned Cody Rhodes. You ain't putting out a 2-hour video 2 weeks before the biggest event of the year about the biggest star on your roster and not include the guy who's going to take him out in that video. I'm sorry.
No, and I think no and I think they said it perfectly, was the interactions before this between Roman and Cody were too cordial. And like, I don't know, like, no, I it's almost, I don't know, like, you really do have, like, I don't know, the blueprint for how to run this, like, Cody Rhodes, like, I don't know, basically gauntlet, like, I don't know. And it's his dad doing a hard time. Like, I just remember the Four Horsemen made Dusty Rhodes' life a living hell, where, like, he was wrestling Tully, he was wrestling R, he was wrestling Oli, he was, no, I feel like, there's the blueprint. And I feel that, like, I don't know, if you make it interesting enough, and like, I don't know how more interesting you can get by having Cody Rhodes beat Brock Lesnar clean. I like, isn't that a nice start to, like, Hard Times part two?
And again, I'll even go with this, I'll even take this a little step further, because for those of you who don't know, like, the current, it looks like we're going to get a pretty soon, we'll probably get some kind of interaction in the ring between Cody Rhodes, well, an official match, I should say, because there was interaction in the ring. An official match between Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar. I wouldn't even be surprised if Cody lost to Brock the first time they fought. Like, again, like, you, like, the man's going to have to work for this belt. He's going to get the belt. I mean, it's obvious. Like, it makes too much sense not to have Cody finish the story.
Now, do you change your mind that you don't think Roman is not going to hold on to the title for a full year?
Yeah, I don't see another – well, again, I don't see another year-long title reign, because I don't think this story needs to end against Roman. And I don't know if you're going to, like, getting from last year to this year, they did it. Kudos to Triple H and whoever is behind creative. They got here, and you got here with a Roman Reigns who probably showed up to, like, a SmackDown and maybe a Raw a month. Like, the man wasn't around a lot. He barely wrestled. But you got here. Like, you got here, like, after last year, and you didn't really have your champion wrestle a lot, other than some of the PLEs. I don't know if you could do that again. I just don't know. I just don't know if you can get to that point again. So I don't think, if the question is, do you think we get Reigns Cody Rhodes one more time at WrestleMania 40? I don't think we do. If I had to put money on that, I'd say no. I don't think we do. But I don't think we need it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we need that. And kudos to them. The match they had on Sunday, fantastic. Fantastic match, hit every beat. I didn't like the ending. Wasn't a huge fan of the ending, but basically, you got everything you wanted. You know, you got the Usos coming out, you got the KO and Sammy coming out, you got everybody hitting their stuff, and, you know, the Cody Rhodes.
And I think the most important thing is you got Cody Rhodes looking like a mega star, like you don't want to throw around super duper star. Often he looked like a super duper star. Like, I don't know. Like, and I think even if you ask Cody, it's like, yo, was it worth it, you leaving AEW? Even if it's like, yes. Are you crazy?
The dude came out to 62,000 people singing a song at WrestleMania. I'm sorry, 81,000 people singing a song at WrestleMania, you know, going crazy. Again, he lost a match or whatever. But then the next night, again, didn't seem appear to lose that much heat, because when Brock Lesnar came out and was going to tag with him, people started going crazy. So I think Cody Rhodes is, I think he's a lot happier now doing this than wrestling at, I don't know, Jack's Place or wherever that place is in Jacksonville, where they had those little things, or Long Island, New York, or whatever, where they had Dynamite last week. I think Cody's doing okay. I think he's doing all right.
So, but I guess I still think, and I don't know, like, and I feel that, like, you're with this new company, they're going to want the head cheese on top. And, like, I don't know, even if he's not there, like, I don't know, because, and I don't think it played it, but, like, it's nice having the dude who's, like, I don't know. And people are, like, saying, oh, man, like, I don't, it's not like you lost, he lost to a guy who was losing any juice. Did you see that crowd when, like, right, those, like when they did that entrance, he still got as much, like, I don't know, like, I don't know, like, I don't know, just mojo as he's done, like, as he had, like, I don't know how long that lasts. But I don't know. I see, like, I don't know. You can still milk a bunch more T-shirts. And, like, I still don't know. I go back and forth because I still don't know who ends this. Like, who ends the reign? No pun intended.
Yeah, and there's a couple of different ways to go. Like, I already started kind of booking WrestleMania 40 in my head. But there's a few different ways you can take this, you know, based on the events that we saw, you know, from you know, from the weekend, because again, it was a fantastic weekend of wrestling. But yeah,
does Ari Emanuel have enough in the vault to not accept a no for an answer from the XFL owner? Because now you got a war chest to, like, I don't know, basically offer whatever. Because, like, I don't know, you've said it, and I think just the world knows it. Everyone and their mother is just I don't know, just waiting for the day that Dwayne Johnson gets bored and says, sure, I'll do it. No, I feel like, I don't know, with the bloodline and all that, like, I don't know, we've been booking this for how long? And, like, I don't know, we ain't the ones that are booking this. I guarantee you, Ari is talking to Vince to be like, yo, how much is it going to take for this dude to come out?
See, I don't think it was ever a money thing. I really think.
Is it just time? Is it just I don't have time to get into ring shape, whatever the hell that is. Yeah. I like, even though he like worked out like 18 hours a day and still looks like an absolute freak. Like, no, I feel it's just, and maybe I don't know. And like, I don't know, for all, like, I don't know, like, he's stiff, like WWE so many times. He still respects the business where he doesn't want to go out looking like Taker or Goldberg.
Right. Yeah. No, like, I really think, you know, if he didn't have the XFL stuff on his plate, like, I think it probably would have happened this year.
Black Adam.
But with the Black Adam thing, with the XFL thing, like, I just don't think it made, because again, like, I don't know how much the money, like $20 million, 25, whatever the money, like, WWE has it. Like, it's fine. You could just like sell another Cinnamon Toast Crunch match and get that money. Like, it's not a problem getting the money. I just think it was a time thing. And I think maybe WrestleMania 40 is the time for that, but maybe it's not. I mean, who knows? Because again, there's a lot of different options you can go, or the WWE can go when it comes to that. But let's just talk about WrestleMania itself for a second. It's the product in the ring, in and around the ring, I guess I should say. Obviously, the Reigns and Rose. We'll go backwards. The Reigns and Rose, Rose match was good. We don't have to go match through match. But day two, I'll run down the matches from day two, and then we can kind of talk about them in general, or if something sticks out to you. You had the Edge versus the Demon Balor, Finn Balor match. Finn Balor got busted open. I don't know if you saw the picture.
Yeah, no, I just really haven't cared for that program at all. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, like, and I think I've said this, the Edge feuds since he's gotten back have been, okay. Like, but it's hard to, like, really criticize Edge because he's literally, like, on, like, a second unexpected run. And, like, I don't know, anything you get from him, I mean, he's better than, like, I don't know, 95% of the roster. So if he's giving you a mid-feud with Finn Balor, sure.
Yeah, he's getting his pre-retirement stuff off, and that's fine. It is what it is. Like you said, again, I gotta understand the point of having the Demon lose, and like, the Demon just doesn't matter.
Finn anymore. Balor, you know what? I am glad to see Finn Balor is still popular as hell. Like, no, that team, like, I don't know, the Judgment Day Finn Balor. I feel like he's been just a coach. Like, I don't know, trying to get Dom over, trying to get Rhea over, and he succeeded there. Well, not with Damian Priest, but whatever. No, I feel like, and I mean, like, they got it. Like, I don't know, they got something with him. Keep off heel, like, and like, I don't know. See if he can be one of these people that like Cody has to go through.
No, absolutely. Let's see what else is on there. Yeah, shout out to Bianca Belair for beating Asuka, going 3-0 in WrestleMania. Is a very, very good match. Like, in any other WrestleMania, this might have been the best match on the card. But we had a really good WrestleMania 2-night showcase. So it was one of the better matches on the card. Wasn't the best match of the night though, because that happened right before that. The big meaty men slapping meat special between Gunther, Drew McIntyre, and Sheamus. That was one of the more brutal matches I've ever seen. Like, it was fantastic. It was.
Was that more brutal than the Clash of the Castle match?
Yeah. Because it was just three dudes just slapping meat, like, just chops everywhere. Like, those, like the chops. Like, again, it was funny. They were outside, but you could, like, this felt like the chops were echoing. Like all over the building. It was an unbelievably physical match.
No, someone said Gunther's this about Walter Gunther, where, like, I don't know, you feel the physicality of a Gunther match. And I feel that's his character. Like, yep. I don't know, like, he doesn't need the mic. Like, he's just the ring general. And, like, and you know what? That's a great character. Like, I don't know, you don't need the same much. Just beat the crap out of dudes and have that pretty rad, like, I don't know, entrance. And you got your little European faction. It works.
It works. Again, like, you, like, everybody else is a character, and he's like, you know, we're real wrestlers. You know, this, we respect the sport.
Yes.
Like, that's a great angle. It's a perfect heel angle. It works. It's fantastic. So shout out to Gunther. He says he wants to be in a WrestleMania main event next year. I won't be surprised if he is, because he's got everything. He's got everything he needs to kind of get to that point. Other stuff on Sunday was kind of he had the Lesnar versus Omos match, which is whatever. The women's tag team showcase, again, whatever. And then that Snoop Dogg again saving that terrible segment after we saw Shane McMahon blow out his quad trying to fight the Miz.
That was that was a good sign for like the future of WWE, because Lord knows how many times Vince has exiled his son.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, he's back. You know what? Good times are here again. No. Tears his quad literally in 0.9 seconds of like, no, I'm telling you, it was, I mean, thankfully it was unintentionally funny, because I mean, how cringe are people in Gorilla looking at that, where you're just like, oh my God. No, kudos.
That's the worst nightmare. That's your worst nightmare if you're producing that show.
No, but you know what? I think, and by the way, the post-game press conferences are great.
Fantastic.
Like, I don't know. And they're not, like, I don't know. Like people ask questions. It's not like, I don't know, people are asking these softball questions. No, like, people are, like, and Triple H was quick to give Snoop his props and he should, because I'm not sure how many people could think on their toes and say, you know what, some dude is probably screaming in the ring because his leg's about to fall off, and he's like, Snoop's like, no, let's call an audible. Right. And I thought, no, you know what, that's like, he should get inducted to the Hall of Fame again for that.
I'm gonna say kudos to Snoop, kudos to Miz, kudos
by the way, I had no idea how big a fans some of these celebrities are wrestling. It really is phenomenal. We're like, dude, they like Snoop loves wrestling. He gave Undertaker and his wife a death row chain.
Yeah, no, Snoop's a huge fan. Apparently Al Michaels is a fan. We saw on night one and night two, George Kittle's a fan. I mean, there's a lot of people who are real huge fans of the sport, because like you said, like, it's a nostalgic kind of thing. But kudos to Snoop, kudos to the Miz, and kudos to the ref for relaying those instructions from the back. It's like, yo, man, hit this man with a people's elbow. Like, I'll say this, and I don't want to belabor this. Shout out to the Miz, man. The man needs to be the WrestleMania host every single year. Like, that was perfect. Like, his whatever character you want to put on him for the last couple of days or those 2 days. Fantastic. Hit every beat. Just absolutely a star. The man is a star.
Oh, no. I'll say it. The career of Mike Mizanin is one of the most impressive things in the history of America. It really is. Like, I still remember this dude getting his ass beat by Coral for being kind of racist. Yep. And, like, I don't know. He has parlayed a stint on a reality show into, like, I don't know, multimedia superstar.
Multimedia, multimillionaire superstar. Like, no, the man is an absolute star again. And we saw that on night one when he had the whole Pat McAfee match as well. But night one, though, again, two things kind of stood out from night one. Shout out to the WWE bookers for putting the cherry on top of the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens versus the Usos story. Again, that was a fantastic tag team match, watching Zayn and Owens beat the Usos for the titles. I don't think you could have booked that anywhere any different. It was just an absolute... Was that the Jason Jordan match, or was that another one?
Oh no, I think that was Jason Jordan, and I think someone said it's like sometimes you just need to let the fans go home happy, and that just I feel like that is, and like I don't know, like I saw like Sammy and Kevin were on like the Today Show, and I'm like, the career arc of those guys that literally like a guy was wrestling as El Generico, and now he is I feel like I don't know as. As much as, like, I don't know, people, like, I don't know. And, like, I don't know, like, a lot of it is just, like, exaggeration. But, dude, this company has made some of these people into superstars. I mean, like Bianca Belair is, like, I don't know, someone call her Jane Cena. But, like, I mean, she feels...
It's not bad.
Sometimes that, like, you need that. I mean, I feel she's the biggest baby face in the company, period. Yeah. Like, I don't know, next to Cody. But I feel like, I don't know, she's the one... Like, she's the poster child of that performance center and trying to recruit athletes, not people. Like, I'm sure she liked wrestling, but she wasn't these people that went to PWG shows when she was a kid. She was just a track star, and she got an opportunity, and it's like, okay, we just made ourselves like the next megastar for the women's division.
Yeah, kudos to Mark Henry for finding that and cultivating that talent in her. We also saw night one, the Rhea Ripley Charlotte Flair match again, which was a fantastic match. Might have been the match of the weekend. Seeing Rhea Ripley win the SmackDown Women's title. The WWE is in good hands with Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair as their champions. I mean, like, you really can't, like, you couldn't have scripted it better with the two of them being the faces of your women's division. Just absolutely fantastic.
That needs to be the champ. No, that needs to be the match for WrestleMania next year. Champion versus champ. No,
yep.
Like, I don't know. And I'm starting to think you might not even need. No, you might not even, I feel yeah, that.
You need two belts. No,
I'm but. Starting to think that you might not need. Like, maybe you might need two belts in the men's division. I don't know. But, like, and I know people don't like the titles being defended, but I sure don't like the titles being defended on a Raw either. Like, I don't know. Like, at least with the Roman Undisputed thing, you've made this title feel real important. And, like, I don't know, when someone beats this dude, it's going to be, like, a national holiday. And I feel that, like, I don't know, maybe you need to do that with, like, because multiple championships feels watered down a little bit. Sometimes it does, anyway.
Yeah, sometimes it does. But, again, it kind of hurts when, again, your champion doesn't wrestle at a premium live event, like we've seen a couple times in the past. We only have a couple minutes, so I'll run through this stuff really quick. The Mysterio match is pretty good. Again, they got a little Bad Bunny action. I'm setting up the eventual match that's going to be a Backlash this week. Shout out to Trish Stratus for just being Trish Stratus. So kudos to her for showing up. Seth Rollins did it again, man. Seth Rollins and Logan Paul put on another banger. I don't understand how Logan Paul could just show up and just be this good, but he's this good. So kudos.
No, but I feel like, I don't know, like, don't you feel that Logan Paul in this, like, Endeavor era feels like almost like perfect?
Yeah, Logan and Jake Paul are going to do some crazy. They're going to wrestle together and then show up on the UFC the next day.
Yeah. Something.
It just makes all the sense in the world for these two guys to kind of thrive in this kind of company. So you had that match. You had the Street Profits winning the tag team showcase. Kudos to Rick Ricochet, who did one of the more craziest things I've ever seen with that shooting star press off the rope to the floor, which is nuts. But I do want to end with this whole John Cena Austin Theory thing. John Cena's beginning to rip for this match. And at some point, I guess John Cena needs to kind of like not look like he's mailing it in when he's in the ring, but he looked like he mailed it in the last couple of times he got in the ring.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. I feel like, I don't know, there's a lot of, like, I don't know, maybe he's trying not to get injured because he really has like an actual full-time, but in the same breath, don't wrestle. Like, I don't know. And I feel like, I feel that John's a pretty self-aware dude where he's hearing this. And of course I think, I mean that tag match with Owens was a joke. I feel that, like, I don't know. Cena's got to give you one more match. No, I feel, I really am starting to believe that the next match that Cena has is going to be his last. Like, his next match at a big pay-per-view.
Really? You think it's going to be his last? Because I know that they said he wants to fight. Well, Logan Paul wants some John Cena. I don't think John Cena goes. Well, maybe he goes over. If he goes over. Because he has to win at some point. He's got to win.
No, but I feel like, I don't know. Like, can Cena carry, like, a Logan Paul?
Oh,
like,
yeah. I think so. If he wants to, that's the thing. He has to really want to. Like, Austin Theory is fine. Like, no disrespect to Austin Theory. But, like, clearly, like, those two dudes are just, like, you know, just calling stuff in the mat in the rain that you could hear.
Unfortunately, they had very little chemistry.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's what you don't get when you don't full-time wrestle or even part-time wrestle. Like, I don't know. When the last time I've seen a wrestler, like, really wrestle. I mean, that tag match was that wasn't wrestling.
Yeah.
But no, that kind of gives credence to what, like, The Rock is like, you obviously pick it up, but, like, I don't know, you need to, like, go through, and that's why the house shows are good for these guys and gals. It's like, those are the repetitions, so you don't end up on AEW botches.
Exactly. So, yeah, so John Cena at some point might need to get some of those repetitions, you know, in order before, whenever his farewell.
Roy, if you had to put a grade on this WrestleMania, what are you giving it?
Oh, I'm going to give it a minus. Like, I think it was really, I think it hit just about, it's definitely a top five Mania. Top 10, maybe a top five WrestleMania. Night one was perfect. Night one was absolutely perfect.
Night two was, I give it a C+. There was a lot
C+
of
plus
like,
overall.
Valor. Yeah. No. Like, I give it a B.
Okay.
I give it a B. I thought night one was great. I thought the Cody match was great. I thought obviously the Gunther match, the triple threat. It wasn't like, I don't know, like that, the Bianca Asuka match started off a little slow. It ended up great, but like, I don't know. But there was just a lot of, and I didn't feel the Hell in a Cell match. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But I feel like, I don't know, that Rhea Ripley Charlotte match might go down as like a Mount Rushmore women's match, period. Like, not in any company. Like, I don't know, that you could put that up with Sasha Bailey NXT. Bianca, Sasha, all those matches.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that match for quite a bit. And I would talk more about the other stuff that happened on the card, but we do not have time. We have to get out of here. And Sally, we will not be able to talk about how the Masters is now culturally biased against Tiger Woods because they lengthened the course and did not let my man compete. But we don't have time to talk about that. So we will get back with you next week here on 106.5
FM. We're going to talk about the Sixers next week, I promise.
We will. We will. Same bat time, same bat channel, Philly Cam Radio. But until next week, we're out of here. Mr. Domingo, take us out, please.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
See you guys.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.